With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
So let's talk about the ninth pick, because there's a lot of conversation about that. Some dodging of questions, obviously, from Ryan Poles. I also should report that you're in Detroit, but so and you just landed there. So did Roma Adunze and Caleb Williams on the same flight, according to their Twitter feeds. And that was fun. Can they both take the same flight to Chicago? Maybe we can arrange that, Dan.
With me. Maybe they can fly back with me on Friday morning, back in the back of Delta coach or whatever I'm taking on that day. I did love that those two guys acknowledged it in social media and had fun with it today. Not only that, David, but Roma Adunze made reference to something we talked about on our Combine podcast when he was asked at the Combine if he was on a plane and it was going down and he was the only one that could possibly fly it and save it. Would he be capable of landing it? And he, remember at the Combine, he said, yeah, no way, all souls of parents. And today he said he could fly the plane and get Caleb to Detroit safely. So he's got more confidence in his pilot skills there. But that's like next level humor there that, for me, like, it hit the sweet spot. And it's why now I want them to draft Roma Adunze on Thursday, just for my own enjoyment.
That would be fun. And I do think if I, as we get closer to Thursday, that is the way I would feel like is the smartest way to go if everything falls into place the way it should. We can talk about, you know, moving up to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. in some scenarios. And you can talk about other scenarios, trading back or taking a defensive guy. But I do think conventional wisdom says to me that if they drafted Roma Adunze and he's there on the board at 9, that makes the most sense for everybody. And they would not regret that. Not just because they're fun on Twitter.
Well, they obviously would make their quarterback happy with that pick, right?
Like
he's made a public endorsement here. And so that's part of this process. Look, like, this number 9 pick can go a number of different ways. I think you've been on record with exclamation points saying, like, it's going to be hard to screw it up, right? Like, you're going to wake up Friday morning and whoever they select there, you're going to go, makes sense to me, you know, and fits a need and helps them get better. Ryan obviously mentioned on Tuesday that they did those group studies within the building of breaking up people into groups and saying, make the case for an offensive lineman, make the case for a defensive lineman, make the case for a receiver. And really, it didn't seem like that drew them to one specific conclusion, other than that a lot of different teams have built a lot of different ways, and that if you find the right guy, you're going to be fine. And so I think that's part of what this is about, because all three of those positions, now some of those have multiple positions folded within them, are very, very valuable to try to build this team out. And I think they feel really good about the crop of prospects that will be there for them.
So that brings us to what Ryan Poles was asked today about the edge rusher possibility at 9 versus the defensive tackle possibility, the interior guy. Obviously, that would be Byron Murphy in that situation, or maybe if you trade down. But I think the Bears could take the first defensive player off the board, possibly. And if you look at the edge, you've got choices between Latu, probably, Jared Verse, likely, also Dallas Sanders. Those are probably the three guys whose names most commonly come up. And Ryan Poles, I'm sorry, Dallas Turner. When they talk about the edge rusher, and Ryan Poles was asked about, you know, what about the defensive tackle spot, which has eluded the Bears under Matt Eberflus, versus the edge rusher? How do you weigh one against the other? And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, we've talked about inside and outside. Both are multipliers. generally speaking, I would say the inside guy has the shortest path to the quarterback. So therefore, like if you have, and we both have lived with really good elite players that are in the inside, and it changes everything. And it opens up a lot for other teams as well. So yeah, having that interior rush is probably a preference when you have an outside guy. It makes it really difficult to scheme up.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Go ahead.
I have two reactions to this because they're both very different. The first one is that he mentions him and Ian and the experiences they've had with disruptive interior pass rushers. That's Chris Jones in Kansas City. It's Fletcher Cox in Philadelphia. And those are guys that obviously they've lived and had experience with that made a difference for defenses that have gone on to play for Super Bowls. The second reaction to that, David, is why are you telling us this? And this is where I get into the sort of the April asking that question repeatedly, like, why are you telling us this publicly? And the reason I ask it today is because Matt Eberflus offered that up in Orlando last month as well, where he said the pass rush doesn't only have to come through the edge. We'd really love to get something inside. And so part of me is saying, are they trying to advertise this because they really want a receiver to fall to them at number 9 and they want anybody that's interested in Byron Murphy to jump above them to go get him in the top 8 picks that then would push a receiver down to them at 9. And so you play both sides of that coin. I like, are they really interested in interior pass rush? Or are they really interested in propagating the notion that they're going to be after Byron Murphy? And if somebody wants him, they might want to come up and get him.
Well, I think that's really good insight because I wondered the same thing. I coupled it with due respect, the fact that Brad Biggs, who knows the Bears organization as well as anybody, talked about Byron Murphy in Sunday's Tribune as a guy that is a viable option with the Bears at number 9 and talked about what they need in that. And, you know, he talks to people too. And I think the more you hear about, boy, it's a quicker path to the quarterback and Flusie at the owners' meetings. You want, and you know what? If they drafted the next Chris Jones or the next Fletcher Cox,
yeah,
take them. But I think that it makes you believe that maybe they want us to think that, or they want people to think that because, okay, so why? And, you know, well, you're right, because maybe that would mean that somebody would swoop in and maybe at 8 or whatever and get that guy before the Bears do. And then there they are, voila. And all of a sudden, Roma Dunze is flying the McCaskey's private jet. So I think that is one option and one possibility. And I also think that I don't want to say we'd be disappointed, but I think of all the options that we've talked about, if the Bears stayed at 9 and drafted a defensive tackle, I would think you'd still celebrate a good draft, but I don't know that it would be as exciting as some of these other possibilities.
By the way, just a little aside on what you said there, I had joked a couple months ago that the only level of quarterback hell that the Bears haven't reached is having their quarterback that they want at number 1 overall force his way to a different city via trade. I was wrong. The level of hell that they haven't reached is having the number 9 pick, who's a wide receiver, fly the private jet and crash it with both the number 1 and number 9 pick on it. Okay. That would be bad. Sorry, I digress. Where was I going with the defensive tackle thing? You asked a question there at the end.
I think that would be the least exciting option of all of them because they do have 2 young defensive tackles that they're in the midst of developing. They do have some options there, and they don't have an edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat and necessarily scares anybody or makes it a thing that they're going to have to game plan against. So defensive tackle, of all of the possibilities, if they stay at 9, would to me be the least plausible option.
But if you take them at their word and they truly believe that the complement of a great outside guy like Sweat and a great 3 tech can really turn your defense into something forceful and disruptive, then maybe there is something there. I'll ask you this. You were here the last time the Bears played for a Super Bowl. That front four, where was the teeth of that front four, right? Like Tommy Harris was the guy that kind of helped those edge guys have the production they had. Adewale Ogunle was making plays. And then obviously in a situational role, Mark Anderson came in and had a terrific rookie year.
Good point.
And so that complement of somebody on the edge that can do it, and then somebody in the middle that can really create opportunity, is intriguing. And so again, like there's a lot of things I star in my notebook in late March and early April that is like, let's circle back to this in May and June and early July with the people that went through this processes and try to get a better feel for what was propaganda and what was actual philosophy inside the building.
Yeah, if they drafted the next Tommy Harris, I think you'd celebrate that. And you would look at that as a team that has a defense that is elite because I want to make sure that I'm not saying it would be a bad choice. I just don't know that it would be as exciting as a wide receiver, certainly to pair with Caleb Williams. And you know, I don't think that they would go Brock Bowers, Dan. I think the last point on the draft, I think you look at some other the NFL rumor mill is running, churning at a high speed this week. Some rumors have suggested the Bears really like Bowers. I think they'd have to trade down to get him to justify that, but I just don't see that as making a lot of sense, and it'd be a duplicate part, even though Roma Dunze would be as well, or any wide receiver. I just don't know that you would – I don't know if that makes sense for the Bears.
Well, I'll throw this at you as a counter argument. Ryan Poles comes from Kansas City. He's seen Patrick Mahomes' sixth season ascent be fueled by his most reliable pass catcher being Travis Kelce, a tight end. Tom Brady, who Caleb Williams has referenced multiple times recently as a guy he models himself after, his most reliable weapon over his 20 seasons in the league was Rob Gronkowski. And so you see a path there where you pair a guy like that with a quarterback that they can have a long, healthy relationship together, you could justify it. Colleen Kane and I have got our big board coming out later this week with 11 players that make sense at number 9. Brock Bowers is one of them. You know, there's the four defensive linemen that we've talked about, two receivers, assuming Marvin Harrison is gone, and then the four offensive linemen that we have are Joe Alt, J.C. Latham, Olufoshanu, and Felice Fuaga. And so that's, again, when we talk about the menu you're choosing off of, like, I don't know who on that list that I just read off you're going to turn your nose up at and say, oh, didn't really want him.
Bowers is fantastic. I just didn't envision him being a top 10 pick. I think he's between 10 and 15, more than maybe 5 and 10. But if they take him, you're right. I mean, there is precedent there. He does have that capability. I think you may diminish the value of Cole Kmet, the guy you just signed to an extension. But that's also every offseason is a different story. So I'll stay open-minded.
Don't forget about Sam Laporta here, right here in Detroit, and what he did for that Lions offense as a rookie last year and helped Jared Goff kind of propel that team to heights that they hadn't reached in a long time. So there's a case for it. I'm not saying it's my top choice, but there's certainly a case for it.